you have the time to listen to me grind. Take down the film watchers and learn some at once. With the math's not adding up, you better check it out. I'm just working to the ground.
Hello and welcome back to the Dynasty Crossroads. My name's Peter Howard, at PA Howdy on Twitter. This is a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Welcome back. So hopefully even shorter than usual and sweeter than usual podcast this week. I just want to run through the results of something I kind of made this week. Because that way I'm recording it before Sunday's games play. And then I'll get to look back on it, much like I tried to do with the first week of the NFL season, something we can look back on. But this is something that's much more like, literally, we can look back on it next week instead of let's wait a couple of weeks. So this week, Tan Ho from DLF, one of the nerd geniuses behind many of the DLF tools, who can actually code, streams live on Twitch regularly. He was posting about a hack version of, or he thinks of it as at least a decent representation of what Josh Hosmer's by low air yards model was, which is a week-to-week model suggesting who is going to regress on a week-to-week basis and towards a higher scoring output next week based on underperforming their volume significantly, essentially through the season proper so far, so on and so forth. You know what Josh Hosmer's air yard model is. And when he did, my question was, but what's the math behind it? He was showing off the code of how to present it more than anything else, but I'm more interested in what I can replicate in Excel because I refuse to learn new things. So he told me. It was pretty simple in the same way smart people can come up with very simple ideas that dumb people like me never would have. And so I got to work trying to replicate it, and I asked him a bunch of questions in this like group chat we've got. And then Matt Spencer from RotoViz, newly acquired, new amazing producer over there at RotoViz, got involved, as well as a bunch of others. And I spammed Matt with a bunch of questions and everyone else with a bunch of questions. And essentially I set it on something, a version that's somewhere in the mix of between what those smart guys were debating on, which is essentially instead of using air yards, I was going to use expected points, which is a RotoViz model projecting the amount of volume in terms of fantasy points that a player has gotten on a per touch basis. So how valuable in fantasy points, measured in fantasy points, each touch a player got on a football field. So the measuring down of distance and where on the field and presumably situations. I don't know. I don't know what the formula is. I just know expected points works out to be a pretty good measurable for opportunity. Mainly, I like it, well, I like it for a lot of reasons. I like representing players in terms of the percentage of volume they're getting from the team in terms of expected point percentage, which is something I'm rolling out in the weekly database at the moment. Also, some new additions because, you know, people ask me questions. I'm like, that's a good idea. Someone asked, do I track actual points scored in a game instead of just the Vegas lines? And yeah, I do. So I was able to add them to the team line database. Pinned to Twitter for free, or the extended version going back several years on Patreon. And someone else asked on Twitter if I'm tracking team racer. So the racer or the receiver air conversion ratio, which is what the acronym Josh Hosmer made, means, essentially saying how efficient teams, or in this case, well, normally players, are turning air yards into receiving yards. So it's an efficiency metric, but he wanted to see the team level. And so I'm tracking that now too. Anyway, that's besides the point. So essentially what I did is use expected points and fantasy points over expected, or they could also, you could score less points than expected based on your touch count, or more points. In other words, are you over or underperforming your volume? And it, like I said, expected points works out to be a pretty good statistic to describe what's happening on a game-by-game basis or on a season-by-season basis. And it's pretty reliable, it's predictable, it's sticky, at least as well as most things. And I've got a history of it, so I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm tracking it week over week. So essentially, I was able to create a hack version of a very quick rendition of, by a much smarter person, of Josh Hosmer's Air Yards model, but using expected points, which meant that I didn't just have to look at wide receivers, I could look at tight ends and running backs too, because expected points is not a throwing dependent measurement. Expected points is meant to measure your touch value, whether that's a rushing attempt or a pass for either type of player in any type of position, and so it's cross-positional. Anyway, to describe it simply, I fiddle with it a little bit. Wait, that sounded worse than it was. I played around with some different thresholds and some different ways of calculating it. I essentially ended up creating something that I'm calling underperformance, which is some measurement between expected points and fantasy points over expected, but it's adjusting for the amount of expected points you're actually getting, so you don't want to weight, you know, Saquon Barkley's fantasy points over expected the same way you rate Jamichael Hasty, who recently went on IR, so I guess he doesn't count anymore. Because they're just fulfilling different roles and they have different amounts of volume, so their efficiency means something different. It's not a complicated formula, and essentially works out to be the same as fantasy points over expected, which is in the database, but I just a little nudge to make sure I'm not catching any stray numbers. So at running back, essentially, I want to see anyone with a running, so far this season, their expected point percentage, adjusting for team level volume instead of just outright expected points by looking at the percentage of the role they have on that team instead of their overall expected points, inside the top, I think I settled on a top 20 threshold, but they performed last week outside the top 15 at running back. I think those are the thresholds I organized. Organized by that underperformance, which is essentially fantasy points over expected, ranked 1 to 12. And I asked to spit out the top 12 results and rank them accordingly in terms of who's underperforming their volume the most to the least. Actually, for this podcast, I'm actually going to spit out a couple of extra that I didn't put in the weekly sheet just because, Crossroads audience, you get a couple bonuses. And also, where I keep playing with that threshold, depends how many names it spits out. So essentially, what I want to do this episode is name the running backs it said should bounce back this week based on their relatively large role on their team compared to their inefficiency in finishing outside a certain position rank last week. So they're underperforming their volume, but they're getting enough volume, we should expect them to bounce back fairly quickly, i.e. here in week 3. So by the time you listen to this podcast, you'll probably know who it's right and wrong on. And I'm going to go through wide receiver, running back, and tight end. I also have a sell high list, which it's slightly different formulation. I mean, it's the same idea. Players overperforming on below average volume. So outside the top 36 at wide receiver expected points percentage, finishing inside the top 24. But the buy low model, or the idea of a buy players underperforming volume model, or, you know, come up with a catchy name if you want. I was just interested to see what it would spit out and if it's useful week to week. Not naming things, by the way, has meant people have claimed so many things that I've made, but whatever. We'll keep with the formula of not being successful here. Well, let me just tell you about the sell high list. It's got both Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott on it at running back, and that makes sense because both finished with over 17 PPR points last week, but they are sharing one workload. They both shouldn't be finishing inside the top 24 on the same team in the same backfield, right? Last week, Tony Pollard scored 23 points, or the week before last to you, presumably, and Ezekiel Elliott scored 17 PPR points. Like, that's too much based on their workload and their current expected points. So that makes sense, but does that mean you sell or want to trade away or not start Ezekiel Elliott or Tony Pollard? I don't know exactly, because running back is a little tricky that way when you're looking at players overperforming volume, but they're still getting a decent level of volume compared to their compatriots that you don't want to start them over. And so I think the quote-unquote sell list is a slightly different calculation. A wide receiver, for example, Rondell Moore is currently overperforming in value significantly over fellow wide receivers to the point they ended up on this quote-unquote sell high list. Rondo Moore scored 24 fantasy points the week before last, or last week to me. And that's 13 fantasy points over expected based on the volume he's getting so far this season. And he has an expected points workload outside the top 24, but it's also, you've got DeAndre Hopkins on your team, so, you know, you shouldn't be expected to get similar level of volume. And the fact that he's a rookie performing at that level of efficiency, that kind of makes sense. He might be growing into a larger role, so that doesn't mean you necessarily fade it, but it could indicate that you should be a little hesitant that it's going to continue next week, since we shouldn't expect rookies necessarily to be week-to-week performers straight away. Henry Ruggs is also on that list for wide receiver, and that makes more sense. A deep down the field player who catches one of those deep receiving touchdowns should look like he's overperforming his overall seasonal volume, and we should expect him to be fluctuate week to week on a points per game basis. Either way, I think I'm just going to leave that list aside. You can see it in the same PA Howdy ranks tab as I think the link that I post every week. List that I'm producing with weekly projections and ranks and strength of schedule and so on and so forth. So instead, for the podcast, I want to go through running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends who are underperforming their volume so far this season and finished outside fantasy startability at their various positions. So tight ends, you're looking inside the top 12. Wide receivers, we're looking inside the top 36. Running backs, we're really looking inside the top 20, I think was the last threshold I used. And, you know, if they bounce back this week, then it's not just a simple representation of who's been performing, but it could be a useful tool week over week for, I don't play much DFS, especially this season, but even inform our start sit decisions or maybe our trade decisions that players are currently underperforming, but they should bounce back at least eventually relatively soon in season. So, yeah. Did any of that make sense? I don't know, but I'm going to read you a list now, so pen and paper, I'll put it in the description, I guess. Or again, check out that sheet. If it's not worth a dollar, then it's probably definitely not worth me keeping up with. So that will tell me that too. Anyway, here we go. Running backs who currently underperforming volume, and I kind of expect if I'm doing this half right, at least most of them should have a pretty good fantasy week this week, despite underperforming their seasonal volume and having disappointing weeks in week two. Why don't I just name the weeks? That'll be easier. So week three should bring higher PPR points, like significantly higher. Like I'm not going to accept 8 points instead of seven. Like that's not, that ain't hitting, you know? So first one on the list is Jonathan Taylor. No one's really disappointed with Jonathan Taylor so far, especially considering his growth in the passing game or the receiving game rather. But last week he only scored 6 PPR points in a tough matchup. And so with a workload like he's getting, we should expect more than that on a week-to-week basis. That's kind of a give me or a gimme. I don't think anyone's surprised by that name. Don't be worried about Jonathan Taylor. I think you should bounce back this week, especially if this is doing any good. The next one, though, is slightly unusual. Mark Ingram, 35 expected points on the season so far. On a per game basis, and is underperforming that 15 fantasy points over expected. So he has a workload inside significance, but his production has been outside significance, and last week he only finished with 5 points per game. So kind of would expect him to bounce back this week. Alvin Kamara, same thing. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, bit of a hot button topic, especially in Dynasty so far. But despite the disappointment, it's not just the workload. It's not that he hasn't grown because the Kansas City Chiefs rely on is a Patrick Mahomes-centered team. He's actually performing pretty well, I think, from my experience of 2021. But everyone has different opinions right now. But I will say he's even underperforming his volume based on the role he had. I think there's a little more juice left in that squeeze. Last week he only had 2 fantasy points. I think, again, if I'm doing this half right, he should have startable points this week, despite being disappointing for a lot of people so far in 2021. Although I am starting to really doubt he'll finish in the top 12 projection this year, I'm willing to let the dice roll this week. Naheem Hines, currently, again, has a expected points workload for running backs or percentage inside the top 20, and he's performing outside the top 24. Last week, he only scored 3 fantasy points. Jonathan Taylor had a similar problem. Sounds like it's a difficult matchup. and he should bounce up, not beat Jonathan Taylor, not it's a start Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines week, just both are underperforming their volume so far, and I expect them to do better on a weekly basis, and so this week Nyheim Hines should hopefully catch a touchdown or something. Two extra names aren't on the Patreon list yet, because I actually extended it just to see who would pop up. For running backs, Miles Sanders, 26 expected points so far. He's only underperforming by 1.8 points, and he's had some pretty good weeks, but he only scored 6 points last week or in week 2, and I think that'll bounce back up in week 3. Kenny Gainwell is another one, and perhaps a little more interesting for Dynasty, because not a lot of people are interested in him, but he actually has a relatively interesting workload. He's performing efficiently on it, but based on those boundaries, a workload inside the top 20, which is an expected point percentage inside the top 20, which is very high for a player like Kenny Gainwell, and he's performing outside the top 24 in a PPR fantasy points projection. Last week, he only finished with 7 points, and that could increase, apparently, but I've expanded the thresholds here a little bit, so they're just names I want to watch and see what happens. At wide receiver, some very interesting names. Laviska Shenault, not the biggest fan. I've constantly been calling him not a top 24 wide receiver, like he was on my out list with DJ Chark, and in fact, I just wrote off the Jacksonville Jaguars, which so far has been pretty good for me, but Laviska Shenault's overall expected points percentage, the role, the volume that he gets on that team, has been significant. He's been inside the top 15, I think, the category I had the wide receivers at, and he's performing significantly below what you would expect on that volume. Jaguars have been struggling, but just based on the volume he's getting, he should be scoring, and where he's getting that volume, he should be scoring more points. He only had one PPR point, or 1.7 PPR points last week. I expect, yeah, let's just use the word, a strong regression up towards an average for the amount of touches he's getting. Marvin Jones being great is great. DJ Chark, meh, whatever. But I do think Laviska Shenault should grow this week. DJ Chark's also on this list, but I'm less likely to believe it, because I do think the workload's been skidding around as the Jaguars have been struggling early in the season. And Laviska Shenault's volume is in a significant threshold that DJ Chark's workload is not. And so I'm ticking the box on Laviska Shenault as one to watch to prove or disprove this list. Kenny Golladay is also on this list. Another, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, kind of a hot-button topic right now. The distant dreams of him recreating his top 12 season are in the rear view, probably even here in week 3, but he is getting enough volume that we should be expecting more than the 6 PPR points he spat out last week, and we could see better games to come. In fact, the New York Giants, hesitantly, after middling, it was kind of a push week for my DLF article looking at strengths of schedule and trying to predict where good and bad matchups are using something. Go read it. It's actually fun. I actually think it's a really fun exercise. Just essentially the premise is strengths of schedule suck. Instead of making something that projects matchups, let's look at something that describes how teams are performing and then try and layer on our understanding in narrative form almost of those teams to try and see if we can eke out some knowledge instead of predict some knowledge, because strengths of schedule suck. So I like the idea of writing a strengths of schedule article that purely rejects the idea of strengths of schedule. But maybe that's too meta. That's just me. But I've been finding it a fun exercise. And the Giants have an interesting matchup I wrote up this week for DLF. So did that work out? If one of y'all could shout back there from the future, it would be great. Another interesting player on this list, Devontae Smith, has been impressing as a rookie so far. Less than 4 PPR points last week, on a very significant role for that team. I expect him to bounce up. And same with AJ Brown. Devontae Parker, which I think is an interesting one, especially with the potential return of Will Fuller and Jaylen Waddle getting all the press as another rookie, performing fairly well in terms of earning volume as a rookie on that team. The loss of Tua Tagovailoa, I think, hurts. But Jacoby Brissett is no slouch. We've seen him be good in relief. And I think Devontae Parker has a relatively interesting role on that team. It'll be really interesting for me, at least, based on this list, to see how he performs this week. Allen Robinson has been another disappointing high pick this year, but he's getting a role that we should expect to spit out more PPR points on a weekly basis. as we've all experienced, and rostering Alan Robinson. So I really think that could bounce back this week. The two extra names aren't on the list that's up on the sheet, but once I expanded the categories a little bit, I found them interesting, so I think I'll include them here. Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods. I have not been surprised to see Robert Woods not be everything he was a couple years ago when the Rams were killing it with Jared Goff, and instead most of it going to Cooper Kupp. That's kind of what I talked about this offseason with the offense, and Zach Reed, I think, was from the Dynasty Dummies, was on that podcast with me and agreed, and so I've kind of been expecting that. But even based on Cooper Kupp as the one, that should continue. You all should have liked, and you did, I assume, Cooper Kupp a lot, instead of thinking with Robert Rudds as a touchdown guy, because that's a bad thing. But anyway, even based on that, the workload he's getting should be producing more points. Now, last week he had 12 PPR points, or in week 2, which is not actually bad. That's startable. It's actually pretty good. You go Robert Woods. He's still a good player. But based on the role he's getting, if we expand the categories a little bit, we could expect to see slightly larger games sometimes. So those are the two extra I added once I expanded the categories here. For tight end, where we're dealing with top 12 expected point percentage roles and top 12 output, obviously, there aren't going to be too many surprises when you're only looking at the top 12 players, but I thought I'd spit them out anyway. Players underperforming significant volume, so expected point percentages inside the top 12 for tight end, and yet their PPR points have been slightly disappointing so far. Top of the list is Jared Cook. I've been asked about him a lot in start sit questions this week, so I'm assuming everyone knows he could be potentially a pretty good streamer tight end this week. He only scored 5 PPR points last week. I think that should bounce up based on the role he's getting right now. David Njoku, honestly don't believe that one on the Browns, but again, when you're looking at top 12 workloads, only through 2 weeks, some strange things are going to happen, especially when you're talking about tight end with such a small category. And the other two names on the list are Jonnu Smith and Juwan Johnson. Those are the only names that span out. Again, it's going to be a smaller list where we have a smaller start, sit category for tight ends. But I do ask it to spit any players ranked in the top 12 in underperformance that finished outside the top 12 last week, but have a role inside the top 12 in expected points percentage. Again, as roles stabilize more, as we get more weeks of data, target shares come down, roles become infinitely clearer. The more weeks we get, the clearer this should be. So it'll be interesting to see how it performs. But those are the names that spit out this week. How'd it do? Please, someone let me know. Presumably whatever time you're listening to this, I know as well. But I'd be really interested. If this has week-to-week utility, that'd be big for me at least, because I've got, I feel confident in my process in a lot of areas, but in DFS, I tried a few things out, found some success. But in terms of week-to-week bounce backs, despite, again, Tan expressing a very simple thought, it took a very smart person, I think, to have the idea, and even smarter people to try and teach me the bare basics of it so I could create something that might have some level of process for myself. If not, I'll fiddle with it some more. Just going to roll into the double entendre there and see if we can't make it a little more usable and maybe expand the thresholds. I know Tam was talking about wide receivers, for example, in his air yards representation of underperformance. Is air yards model trademarked? I have no idea. He was using top 50, so a role inside the top 50, and finishing outside the top 50. And that just seemed too far for me. Like, it spit out a few too many names, and there's no great way of ranking it. You essentially sort by efficiency, obviously, but that doesn't mean one is more or less likely. It didn't spit out 50 names, interestingly enough, because there's relatively few wide receivers with a role inside the top 50 and performance outside the top 50. But I thought I'd shrink the categories to see if we could get a little more actionability built around a list, especially where I'm a moron, so I'm not going to be able to read it nearly as well as someone like Tan or Matt or Josh Hernsmeyer does. So, yeah, that's the list. Daily Dynasty Crossroads, I guess, information. Anyway, if you're interested in all, hit me up, as always, on Twitter, at PA Howdy. Go check out the sheet. You can see the list of names and also the numbers I was reading off there. And you can also check out the Winky database, which is free. Pinned to my Twitter and Patreon timeline. Just click, takes you to a Google sheet. And you can see these players' week-to-week stats, as well as their season-long stats. So I'm finding it pretty fun. Hope you're having a great 2021 so far, and you're kicking ass in them leagues. And yeah. That's a rough ending, isn't it? I gotta come up with a better intro and outro. But until I do, thanks very much for listening, and I will see you again next week. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Chicken or crow, chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the play, so. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Picking my nose, don't really know if I like that. Picking their brains, got their in lanes, but I like that. Picking these guys, all of these times, all of these nice stats. Picking apart, the film is an art, always a fight. Back and forth, there is no order, they disorder more and more. Because the players ain't no older, they some hoarders or some mortars. Dropping bombs without no borders, they got that I like Mordor. Peak grinding numbers like molars, I don't know anymore. I am at a crossroads. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the play, so. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Chicken or crow, chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the play, so. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical.